The views and opinions expressed by the hosts of Black Talk Radio News and any guests represents their views and their views only and do not necessarily represent the views of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network. And welcome to Black Talk Radio News. Again, this is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. And speaking of USA Inc., a couple of the board members of that corporation, also known as Senator Cory Booker, and let me find out the other person, Barbara Lee, that's her name, I'm sorry, Barbara Lee, representative. So you got somebody introducing legislation. Well, this is probably companion legislation or co-sponsored. There are two different versions of it, so just trying to let you know how government works. So Senator Cory Booker, he's out of New Jersey, Hillary Clinton supporter, one of those reformists. He's not an abolitionist. And Representative Barbara Lee of California, we just got through talking about this white supremacist propaganda coming out of California via Breitbart.com. But she and he introduced the Senate and House versions of the Confederate Monument Removal Act, which would mandate the removal of all statues of those who voluntarily served the Confederate States of America from the National Statuary Hall collection within 120 days. Now, again, I know we live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. All right. Lots of stuff, primarily slavery, is going on. But these monuments in to Confederate soldiers, I mean, it just doesn't even make any kind of logical sense unless you view it in the sense or in the context that white supremacists were sending a message. Why would you put monuments in Washington, D.C. to people who tried to destroy the United States of America as it existed as a nation? It makes absolutely no sense. Do you think the Japanese got any of those pilots who dropped the nuclear bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki? Do you think that in those cities or in their capital anywhere, there's monuments to those pilots? Do you? Do you think there's monuments to World War II soldiers, United States soldiers? Do you think that? No, there's not. Do you think that there's any Japanese military people who subjugated, invaded China and subjected the Chinese people to horrific treatment, torture, human experimentation? And I mean, do you think the Chinese have monuments to these people? No, they don't. So why in the United States do we have monuments to the vanquished Confederate States of America? Okay, the reason why, I know why. Because they sending a message. It's sending a message to terrorists and people who like to enslave other people that, hey, although we fought this war, we want to bring you back into the fold. We're going to allow you to put up these statues and stuff. Remember, Woodrow Wilson screened that terrorist recruiting film for the KKK, Birth of a Nation, in the White House. And so that was to integrate the former Confederates back into the fold, bring them back into the fold. That's the reason why you had those monuments. So being that whether you want to claim your United States citizen status or not, fact is most of you are paying taxes to this corporation. Unless you willingly giving it up. Is that what you're telling me? That you willingly paying taxes into a corporation that you don't support or don't approve of? Yeah, so, you know, we're all giving money towards, or our financial energy towards, maintaining monuments to racism and white supremacy. There are 40 million black people. I don't know how many Hispanics. I don't know how many Asians or Native Americans, but you would think that they would no longer want to fund these sort of things and that there would be a political movement to get them taken down. No, I don't believe that there's no conspiracy. These monuments aren't there to distract us. These monuments have been there for hundreds of years. People throughout those years have pointed out the incorrectness of these monuments and forcing the descendants of these people's victims to fund these monuments. All right. It's just that, hey, everything has a season, everything in its own time. And now apparently the universe is saying it's time. It's time to remove this aspect of the system. And like, what is that artist name? John Sims said, how can in his track Burn or Bury, which was made about the Confederate flag, but applies to these monuments. But he was like, if you call yourself an anti-racist, a counter-racist, or a freedom fighter, or anything of the sort, if you can't even take down visual representations of that institutional slavery and racism, if you can't even take down a monument or a flag, what makes you think you're going to uproot the system itself or any of the other elements? That's what I'm saying. If we can't even get public opinion on our side and put political pressure to stop funding these monuments, then you should have no hope that we're going to end slavery anytime soon. No, it doesn't stop with the monuments, but you just keep pushing. You keep pushing. Every generation should be picking up the baton, so to speak. And then these sort of activities also, just like how these monuments were used to radicalize white supremacists like Dylann Roof, okay? We can use these movements to take down these monuments to recruit and radicalize anti-racists. So let's recruit them in. Let's get people focused on this one goal. Let's take them down. Let's see if we can be successful in that. And then after we're successful in that, what's next? What's next? What do we want to tackle next? Again, Rome wasn't built in a day, and it did not come tumbling down in a day. It was because of a lot of individual actions all over its supposed or its captured empire, rebellions and whatnot, internal strife that led to its downfall. So you just can't do nothing and then expect something to happen. That's just not how the law of physics work. But we do got a caller. I heard somebody. Thank you for calling in to BTR News. I think we got Big Diesel. Big Diesel, do you want to share with us anything you would like to comment on? Please feel free. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Scotty? This is Derek Tally. This is my first time calling in. But, as far as that story you were talking about earlier, that was on Breitbart, I know Willie D did one at the same time. But his title of his was Mexicans Run White Supremacists Out of Chicano Park, Cops Scared. So it's just interesting to see the slant on the story, depending on who it is that writes the story.
Yeah, it's intentional deception.
I like the slant better than Breitbart.
Yeah, it's intentional deception. It's outright lies.
Yes, exactly. Outright lies. And that's what I expect from Breitbart. About life, but as far as looking at where we are, I'm kind of looking at where we are, the theological aspects and the end times and where is this all headed and what's the end game. And reading the book of Revelation, chapter 9, the last two verses tell us that there's 5 things that people just aren't going to repent from no matter what. And those 5 things, which can be found in the last 2 verses of Revelation chapter 9, just to sum it up, it's idol worship, murder, sorcery, fornication, and theft. And our government is guilty of all 5 of those. And no matter what we talk about reforming or going to the table and trying to negotiate, those are 5 things that they will not negotiate away. First thing, idol worship, they're not going to give up those statues, And second thing, murders, whenever there is a state-sponsored terrorist murder, it's always, well, if you just comply, you won't have to worry about it.
Right.
There's sorcery. The sorcery in the Greek is pharmakia. That's drugs, So they're not going to stop dumping the drugs in our stores. They don't care how much they've been exposed already. Their fornications, we see that, and it didn't start with gay marriage. It started way before that. The polygamy, the adultery, everything. But, now it's the state-sponsored allowing these kind of stuff. And there's debt. You look at Jeff Sessions, and now he just okayed it for them to take your property before a trial or before a charge. These five things are things that no matter what you do to go to the government and try to negotiate with, they won't repent from.
Well, how about not negotiating and just removing them from power? I agree. You don't negotiate. No, to borrow a line from them, don't negotiate with terrorists. But I'm trying to be realistic, though, because I know where the minds of the masses are, and the minds of the masses are not primed for a revolution. What really needs to take place, revolutionary change. They're not primed for that. But what they are primed for is political activity, which I feel like controls all people activity areas. And people say that, politics ain't the way it this won't happen. That look at the past and the track record. Well, the majority of people have never participated in politics, and that's how you have a few controlling the future of the many. It's because most people sit on the sidelines and they don't participate in any kind of fashion. And this has been even true of successful revolutions in the past. The majority of the people in Cuba did not participate in the Cuban Revolution. Just a small minority who were dedicated to revolutionary change participated in that. So, I do agree with you, but on the part about negotiating with terrorists. No, you just eliminate the terrorists. Okay, that's what you do with the terrorists. But most of the people aren't really ready for that. So they have to be prepped for that. So that's why I call things like the removal of these Confederate statues, even the things Antifa is engaged in, which Malcolm X called on young anti-white people to engage in. And then, like you said, Revelations is a very violent, it's a lot of violent imagery in that. And for those who practice Christianity and believe in the prophecies of Revelation, Jesus ain't coming back to turn the earth to cheek. He ain't coming back to make peace, okay? He come back with violence, with a sword to put down these people. And so, without going through the whole story of Revelation, the Bible full of violence. Even God uses that violence. So don't ask me to condemn violence, when that is a primary tool of our enemy. So, I mean, your thoughts, Derek?
You're right on point. Matter of fact, it's me learning from you. I learned from listening to Black Talk Radio that of every revolution that has taken place, only 5% of the people who actually benefit from the revolution are the ones who actually fight the revolution. So that's something that I picked up. But Scotty, my grandmother is going to be 100 years old on January 13th. And I saw her yesterday, and I was asking her questions, about some of the different times, because she's from South Alabama. And, it was one of her cousins that fought to get to the University of Alabama when George Wallace was governor. Uh-huh. So I've got some fighters in my family, and I'm going to go see her again tomorrow. But I've just been asking her some different questions, and thank God she still has a mind. But I've been asking her different questions about what things have they gone through at that time, because when her and my grandfather got married, that was 1939.
Let me ask you this, Derek.
So that was a long time ago. So, yeah.
Do you think that your experience on this earth thus far is better as a black person than what your grandmother and grandfather were facing in 1939 when they got married? Not perfect. Now, we're not living a perfect existence. We're not living a perfect existence, and they're still practicing slavery. They just have become more covert, and through independent media, we can expose these things. But back then, they were just upfront and blatant with it, because they knew there would be no repercussions if they went out and lynched somebody. So, I mean, then having to have a green book to travel throughout, if you want to travel through the nation, Lord, I thank them for what they went through and stand the few that did stand up, because I know my life is better than what it was back, what they had to experience during that period.
Exactly. And she was telling me some things that are different that I kind of ponder on, to where I'm not saying that they had it better, but they knew more, because they had a mill, a corn mill. So when they got the corn, and they could make their own flour, and there was different things that they knew how to do on the farm, plant their own stuff. And I think, it got to the point to where, in order to really control us, they wanted to make it to where we were totally dependent on the government system, rather than, being self-sufficient. I know not everyone was, but there were a lot of people back
then. The majority of the people were not self-sufficient, yes. Derek. The majority of the people, you got to realize, like you brought up revelations from the Bible earlier. Well, if you go to Exodus, what's the difference between the Exodus story of slavery, which some people say is fictional and there's no historical evidence, but even if we use it as an allegory or just for an example, in the Bible, the Hebrews, former victims of slavery, when they left Egypt, they were loaded down with what? Gold, silver, all kind of wealth of those who had formerly enslaved them. So they came out of slavery with some resources. Yeah. Black people in the United States never got reparations, never got land. And those who were victims of slavery, because again, I always acknowledge the free black communities, especially since I live in one. But the majority of those who were black coming out of slavery, man, many of them died homeless, penniless. They didn't have anything, didn't have no land. They were trapped in sharecropping for the most part and under new forms of slavery. So we have never been self-sufficient in my review of history. Just some of us, like the community that I live in, there were successful black communities, but the measure of success in my mind is whether or not that community still exists or not. Black Wall Street wasn't successful because what? It's no longer here. It got destroyed and they couldn't defend it. So I'm just saying those are anomalies. That wasn't the existence of the majority of black people coming off a plantation with no resources. And that is why I believe wholeheartedly in the current reparation. That's a bill that has remained unpaid.
You're absolutely right, Scotty. And you know what? It took me a while to get to that. I had to work that through in my head, but it's important. That's why Black Talk Radio Network is important, because we need to come together and discuss these things instead of avoiding. I'll be honest, like when I first heard of the topic of reparations, it was one that, it sounds good, but I would avoid it because I didn't know how to present the case, But now, after, a steady diet of some good, Black Talk Radio, and then and speaking with others and talking with others, because it's more than just just a radio experience, but it's the fellowship and bringing these subjects up, that now, I would be able to present that, and not want to try to avoid it. You know what I'm saying, Scott?
Yes, I know what you're saying. Yeah, what you're saying is you're better informed enough to even have a intelligent discussion. Because, some people, we call them know-it-alls, and they claim to know everything, and they will just BS their way through a conversation and not really have any kind of So what you're talking about is before you wouldn't participate because you didn't want to be one of those know-it-all people just running their mouths to seem like, oh, I'm so smart, look at my big brain and all this and that. But now since you have gotten the information and you have some background information that you can form an opinion on, now you can intelligently debate it or discuss it with someone.
Exactly. And me, I've become a history buff. I wasn't one in high school. But I love history now, and I just recently read or listened to the audiobook of this one. I'm a truck driver, and I listen to a lot of audiobooks along with Black Talk Radio Network. But one of the best audiobooks that I've listened to so far, and I still got a lot more to listen to, is The Marines of Munford Point. The Marines of Munford Point. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt had said that he wanted blacks to join the military again. Because, you know, there were still blacks in the army and on the navy, on the ship, just of staff members, but they, for the most part, had banned blacks from being in the military during that time, all the way up to, you know, President Franklin Roosevelt's term, which, you know, and that's another thing, from listening to Black Talk Radio, I never knew the role of black soldiers from the Revolutionary War all the way up through to then. But this, for one, this actually starts off at the Revolutionary War and starts off all the time throughout history where blacks were pressed into service, then we win, and then they were
banned,
pushed out of service, and then
right.
we need their help again, and then they were pressed into service again. But the point, a lot of those Marines came from New York and Chicago, and a lot came from down south. And the ones that lived up north didn't know that there was a different kind of segregation below the Mason-Dixon line. So, like, a Marine coming from Chicago would be on the bus, sitting up with the bus driver, laughing and joking with the bus driver. And then when the bus gets to Carbondale, Illinois, the bus driver would say, "All right, you guys got to get in the back." And they're like, "Well, what's up with that? You know, where are we getting in the back? We're up here laughing, joking." "Yeah, but we're about to cross the Mason-Dixon line." "Well, the Mason-Dixon line, what's that? What's that got to do with us?" "Well, when you're below the Mason-Dixon line, see, there can't be no blacks at this point." And it just made no sense, you know. And listening to the different experiences, it's the only audiobook I like that uses different voices, but they interview different Marines. Black Marines, these were Black Marines. They created a black boot camp for it because it was still segregated at the time. Desegregation in the military didn't happen until 1949, but this was 1942. They created a black boot camp separate from the white boot camp. And it was just the stories of these young black men who were joining the Marines. And, you know, I am a Marine Corps veteran, Scotty, just so you know. And that's why the book interests me. But I think everyone should read that book.
And what was that title again?
The Marines of Munford Point.
The Marines of Munford Point. I definitely will check that out. All right, well, we're going to move on. Thanks, Derek, for sharing with us. And you stay safe behind these enemy lines.
Thank you, Scotty.
You're welcome. Now, one of the interesting things that Derek mentioned was that all throughout history, even with the American Revolutionary War, again, Washington was no great general. He lost the first six battles of the American Revolutionary War because he had a ban on black colonists and even enslaved Africans serving in the military with promises of freedom if they fought, just like the British were offering them. And so he almost lost the American Revolutionary War until he lifted that ban. Black people came in, saved the day. This repeats all throughout history, even in the Civil War. Racist Lincoln, ban on black troops, getting their butt whipped, okay? And then they lift the ban, hundreds of thousands of black people join, free and enslaved, and they win. I mean, this is all throughout history. So what does that tell me? that tells me that this history is hidden for a reason. And that reason is to tell white people that black people had nothing to do with the securing of this nation and even stuff that we shouldn't even be proud of. I used to be proud of the Buffalo Soldier. I'm no longer proud of the Buffalo Soldier. When I had a Native American point out to me about 5 or 6 years ago how they participated in the genocide against Southwestern Indians and even protecting these white settlers who were settling in the South, getting that free land that black people wasn't allowed to get. So I'm saying, man, a lot of this history is hidden and they don't want to acknowledge it, that they would put monuments up, not to these people really, but to the enemies that they fought and put down, the Confederate soldiers, put them down and saved the nation. So that tells me, though, that black people, non-white people in general, are very important to United States military operations, have always been. So black people, how do we leverage that? How do we leverage that? Okay? Think about that. Need to be having conversations with your sons and daughters like I had with mine. And I'll leave it at this because they do have laws in place that criminalize certain speech when you're talking about things that may be alluding to, but maybe you're not, but maybe alluding to a boycott. But yeah, my daughters expressed the interest in going into the Air Force. I said, no, you don't want to do that. And then show her all the reasons why. So how can we leverage that? How can we leverage that? Going to just share some of the headlines with you and then get ready to wrap up the broadcast. Again, these articles are posted in btrcommunity.com for Black Talk Radio. Just look for my profile, Scotty of BTR News. It's the BTR News for 9/8/2017. You'll find links to these stories. We were just talking about Barbara Lee, Representative Barbara Lee of California, and Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey, passing a Senate and House version of the Confederate Monument Removal Act. All right, so check that out. Another headline, Miss America gets political. Contestants ask about Trump-Russia collusion and federal statutes. Let me just read a little excerpt from that. The contest host also asked Miss Texas Morgana Wood what she thought about Trump's comments after the deadly white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, where he blamed the violence on both sides. Wood branded the death of counter-protester Heather Heyer as a terrorist attack and said the president should have made a statement earlier addressing the fact and making sure all Americans feel safe in this country. This is calling stuff the way it is and not calling it, oh, this was a hate crime, this was whatever watered down label that they have assigned to these sort of things. No, this is terrorism. And she's right. And I'm happy she called it a terrorist attack and said that the president of the United States of America Incorporated has a duty to protect all Americans against terrorism. But if that's not what Trump did, what he did was provide material support by the way of his words for domestic terrorism. This one story from the Seattle Times, please check it out, kind of goes into what Derek was talking about when he said that he loves history. And I've always loved history, just love reading and reading history since high school. I loved to read before that, started reading at an early age. But when I got into high school, I took a particular interest in reading about world history and the history of the United States. But this article from the Seattle Times said today's bad politics are built on yesterday's fake history. So, again, the education system is controlled by the people activity area of politics. And they've been educating these people that there was nothing wrong with what these terrorists had done throughout history, or they wouldn't even mention it at all. They definitely ain't talk about the role of non-white people, black people serving in the United States military since the American Revolutionary War. Definitely not telling them about Benjamin Banneker, who wrote a couple of almanacs and was an architect who laid out the streets of Washington, D.C. They not talking about Crispus Attucks, who confronted the British troops for their brutality against a teenage college. See, they're not learning any of that. All they're learning is that black people were slaves. And now, if you live in Texas, they were immigrants, according to the books. And it says that people's bad politics are built on yesterday's fake history. Let me just read a brief excerpt. Better history lessons might help us agree on more things, and an understanding of how history is told might allow us to have more intelligent discussions about those things we might never agree on. I mentioned that before that I like to visit the History News Network website to see what historians and other people who deal with history are writing and talking about. The variety of topics is broad, but also affected by what's in the news. And for a while, it's been heavily influenced by tweets and statements from the White House and by events like the violent clash in Charlottesville, which clearly drew out very different understandings of American history. Historians weigh in with correct facts, but sometimes they also discuss how people come to hold these ahistorical ideals. In other words, these fake facts about history. A couple of recent articles about how history is learned caught my attention. So, in short, he's saying that what you learn in school, what Donald Trump might have learned about U.S. history in school as the son of an immigrant, you know, it shapes their worldview or their view of the people here in the United States. And so with a lot of white supremacy being promoted through the history books, and the devaluation of non-white life, then it's easy to see how it has produced people with racist politics and personal views. All right, so those are the stories that I wanted to share with you today. I'm getting ready to close out the program with a final music mix. Join me again tomorrow, Tuesday at 12 o'clock noon. That's 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, up until 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, where we'll be bringing you some of the news stories of the day, great music, and commentary. Recognize the fact that you do live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc., where they're practicing slavery, engaged in human trafficking, made legal by the 13th Amendment, and that this stuff is not going to correct itself. Again, going back to what Derek said about revelations, about the certain sins that certain people just won't turn from. They'll never turn from it on their own. That's why you got to pick up the sword and you got to fight for it. Well, I'm talking about revelations. That's what revelations say. Say Jesus come back with a sword and 10,000, I think, saints, and they're going to wage war on these people. So don't ask me to denounce violence when you know, the Bible doesn't denounce violence. And it says on judgment day, it's going to be a great day of violence and what have you. So don't, again, these people are not going to change. You have to force change. You have to force them out by any means necessary. As Malcolm X said, that can be by nonviolent means. That can be by violent means. Rule nothing out. They certainly have ruled nothing out. So why should you? Unless you want to continue to live under these conditions. So do something. Get in where you fit in. And keep standing up and exposing these racist white supremacists practicing slavery. And it's a glow. It's worldwide. All right. Until tomorrow, peace and blessings to all. Hello, this is Scotty Reed, and thank you for listening to this podcast and sharing it with others. please consider making a donation to the U.S.-based nonprofit media organization Black Talk Media Project in support of its efforts to elevate independent Black voices. You can also support the work by joining the network's social media community, BTR Community, for just $24 a year. Black Talk Media Project is leading the way in the production of grassroots Black media.